Please do keep 1 Corinthians 12 in front of you. I'm going to need to invite all of the smaller people down towards the front. I'm going to need their help at various points. So if you are a smaller person, say primary school or below, and you are not at the front of church already, well done, those of you who came and sat at the front. You didn't know you were in the firing line, quite literally. Come have a seat. Come on, Ginny, I need your help. I'm going to need your help. You need to come and sit down here. You promised. Come on. Just sit. It's all right. I'll get to you guys in a minute. Just have a sit down for a minute. And let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice to be your body here gathered this morning, and we pray that you would give us such an appreciation of your work among us that we will delight in each other and be willing to serve each other from the youngest to the very oldest here. For Jesus' sake, amen. So here's a question for you this morning. Does God make mistakes? Genuine question. Sorry, that was a... Who said that? Thank you, Reverend Barth. No. Anybody want to disagree with David Barth there? No, of course, God doesn't make mistakes. We know that God doesn't make mistakes. But how sure are you that God doesn't make mistakes? God is... Thank you. Excellent. Very sure. Good. We know that God is perfectly wise, and we know that he is perfectly powerful. So it stands to reason that God doesn't need to make mistakes, and he doesn't make mistakes. But I think that sometimes we can act as if he has made mistakes. Let me tell you a story. I've been a Christian maybe 5 or 6 months. I was 19 years old, and I was on a boating holiday, a barge holiday with some Christian friends. It wasn't that exciting. We were going up and down the Grand Union Canal beside Milton Keynes. So you can imagine it was a thrilling, exciting holiday. And I was very new to the church, and I was sat there on this barge looking around me thinking, these people are all amazing. There are people who know their Bibles backwards and inside out. There are people here who know their theology. They know God. They pray hard. We have musicians who play fantastic songs so we can sing. There are people who can sing. I can't sing. And I sat there and I thought, I don't do anything. I'm not funny. I'm not the cleverest person on the boat. I don't know how to speak well. I don't know how to pray even. Maybe God's made a mistake in bringing me into his church. Some of you will have felt like that. Maybe all of us have felt like that at some point, and maybe some of us feel like that right now, that God has made a mistake. And do you know what? I cried. I went downstairs and I cried. I was embarrassed. I didn't know where I fit in. I didn't think I had anything to bring to God's church. Now, I got lots of things wrong that day. Jesus doesn't save us because we have great gifts and skills. He doesn't invite us into the church because he thinks, I really, really need someone who can do that. Jesus saves us despite ourselves. He brings us into his church despite all that's wrong with us, not because of all the things that are right with us. Not everyone here has had that crisis of faith that I did, but some of you will have done. Some of you will think that you're too young to do anything useful for Jesus. Some of you will think you're too old to do anything useful for Jesus. Some of the people in the Corinthian church in our passage this morning looked down on other people because they felt that they had all of the gifts that were important. And they looked down on people who didn't seem to have any gifts at all. Perhaps those people came from the wrong background. Perhaps they came from the wrong culture. Maybe they lacked the right sort of education, or they spoke with a funny accent. And now, whether we think too much of ourselves or too little, whether we think too little of ourselves and much of others, whichever way round we're inclined to go here, Paul wants us to know something this morning. God doesn't make mistakes. The key verse in our passage this morning is verse 18. Have a look at your Bibles with me. Verse 18, it's really important. But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. And that means each and every member of the church, every single one of you here this morning, if you belong to Jesus, has been brought into the body of Christ by God's plan. And every single one of us who is here, part of this church, is so because God intends it to be so, for the maximum good of the church. Now, Paul uses the illustration of the body, made up of lots of parts. When a body is working properly, as God intends, all the different parts work in harmony with one another. But what happens if the parts of the body aren't in harmony? What if the foot decided that hands were more important than feet and so decided to just fall off? I would struggle to walk around. I don't know about you. What if our ears decided that eyes were more important and so our ears stopped working and fell off? Apart from anything else, I would struggle to put my glasses on. Would the body work properly at that point? This is where I'm going to need our younger people. Who watches tennis here? Who likes tennis? Hands up. Okay. Just a couple of months ago, Emma Raducanu won the US Open tennis. Okay, it was an amazing thing. Didn't drop a set. First qualifier ever to win a major. Brilliant performance. Okay. We don't say Emma Raducanu's right hand won the US Open, do we? We say that Emma won the US Open, the whole of her, because she needed not just the hand that held the racket, but her whole self. And to illustrate this, I'm going to need some help from our young people. Okay. I've brought my tennis racket. It's not as nice as her tennis racket, but it is a tennis racket. And in this bag, I've got, hang on, I'm going to put those bits out of the way for later. I've got some balls. I wonder if you could take one of those and then pass the bag round to the next person so that all of you little ones can have a tennis ball. And all I'm going to want you to do is take it in turns to throw it up for me so I can hit it. Now, this is where you lot need to be awake because I haven't won the US Open. And so these could go absolutely anywhere. And those of you who are sitting on the front row, well done, you're very brave. I did get sponge balls, so they shouldn't hurt, but please be awake because it could go anywhere. Jean, you want to come over here a little bit because you're a little bit too close there. I don't want to swing and knock your head off. I'm going to try and avoid hitting that as well. So this could go chaotic. Who wants to go first? Go on then, Anna. Lovely. Excellent. You're awake. Lovely. Who's next? Go on. There we are. And it's gone in the coffee cups. Marvellous. Yeah, go on. I'll get it in a minute. Go on then. Oh, so close to John's head. Go on, Benny. Go on, Benny. Excellent. There we are. And I have hit the screen. Whoopsie. Go on. There we are. Any more down there? Have we got any more? Hang on, let me go and get this one. Go on, Edie, have another go. Have another go. Go on. There we are. Well done, Harry. Marvellous. Now, we're going to need all those back for the next part of the illustration. So if you've got one, could you just send it back down to the front for me? That'd be great. We'll see if we can get them. There should be nine. So, kids, all of you should get one. Here they come. This is great. This is great fun. Right. So look, what I've tried to illustrate there is that my eyes and my feet and my hands all work together to make that work. Now I'm going to take one of those senses out of the equation, okay, and see if I can still see this. Now you might want to go slightly back away from me here because genuinely I won't be able to see what I'm doing. So I'm going to try and stand so that I can't hit the piano and can't hit the screen. And I can't hit people, obviously. That would be the particularly bad thing to do. Right, I actually can't see a thing. And all you've got to do is, again, throw the ball for me. Thank you. Marvellous. Okay, can't see a thing. Oh! Who threw that at my... Come on. Don't get too close, because I'm going to be swinging this thing. I can't. Come on. They're all gone. I could have stood there for hours. I could have stood there for hours. Now, do you see? I need my eyes. Why don't you guys have these? You're not going to need them again, but you can hold on to those for a second. Okay? I need my eyes to play tennis. I need all of my parts working together in order to play tennis. I know blind people do play tennis, but I think they have a bell inside the ball, and it takes a lot of skill to compensate for the lack of eyesight. We are used to being able to do all sorts of things that require our whole bodies to participate. And we don't even notice when they're all working properly. I don't know if you know, but Emma Raducanu got to the fourth round of Wimbledon earlier this year as well. And she had to abandon her match in the fourth round because she couldn't breathe properly. And we don't normally think about people's lungs as being important to tennis. We don't talk about their lungs. But if the lungs stop working, we suddenly have to stop playing altogether, because the loss of just one function in the body can have a devastating effect on all of the functions of the body. Do you see? Now, I'm going to illustrate this again in a slightly different way. I'm going to need some more volunteers. Put your hands up. Do you like popcorn? Who likes popcorn? Okay. So what I'm going to do, all you're going to have to do is eat some popcorn for me. Okay? All you've got to do is eat some popcorn. Okay? You just can't use your hands. Okay? So I'm going to give you some popcorn. Okay, you can't use your hands. You can't put your hands on the floor either. Okay? Okay? You think you can do that? There are one or two people here who are extremely flexible. And they will be able to do this without any trouble at all. Others might be struggling, and if we're really struggling for somebody who can't do it, I'm going to get John to come to the front and do it, because it was brilliant watching him try at St. Luke's this morning. Okay. Good practicing. Come on. Who's coming to the front? Good. Right. I want you on this side of the plates. Come this side so everyone can see you doing it. Come round. Okay, I'm going to try and make sure everyone's got some. It's all right. Okay, Katie, when you come back, Katie, come back this way. Okay, Benny. There you go. No hands. Okay. Do give them your encouragement, folks. No hands. Your fingers are part of your hands. I didn't say not the palm of your hands. I said your whole hands. Don't be cheaty. Fun. Oh, lost one. Here we are. So much easier with fingers. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no, I've run out. Just as well I brought two bags, isn't it? Keep going, come on. Eat it all up. You didn't need lunch anyway. Go on then, Laura. Show us how you do it. No hands on the floor. Hands behind your back. Come on. So much easier when you've got fingers. Keep going. No hands on the floor. Hands behind your back. Oi! Some people are so rude. Now, you're doing fairly well, some of you. Would it be easier to just use your hands? Yeah. Why don't you take your bowls of popcorn and go and sit down, and you can use your hands to eat them. Okay? Careful, Benny. Oh, it's all right. I'll hoover afterwards. Chaos. Well done, everyone. Somebody decided not to take their popcorn with them.
Ash, John just said, I think I've got away with it. I think we should maybe not let you get it.
Right, so I've got a whole extra bag and a clean bowl. So Telford, I mean, I'm sorry, but you can't be saying that. Right, come on, Johnny T. Let's see you down the front. And if anyone wants to record this, no, Telford. Oh, dearie me. Should we tickle him? Should we tickle him? Oh, dear. John, you can take your bowl back to your place and have your popcorn. Run. I mean, it's quite good fun, isn't it? The point of our passage is simply this. Okay, no part of the body can say to any other part of the body, I don't need you. No part of the body can say to itself, I'm not needed. We've just seen two illustrations of the fact that actually we use our whole bodies all the time. And actually, if you take any one part of the body out, it becomes much harder to do almost everything. God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. That's true, by the way, for your bodies. Two arms, two legs, one nose. God's design. So it is with the church, which is why we call it a disability if you lose any one of those abilities. If your feet fell off, that would be a disability. If your eyes stopped working, that would be a disability. And some of us know very well that those disabilities can be really, really difficult. When I was sick a couple of years ago, many of you will know that I wasn't very well. My esophagus stopped working. I had to look up how to spell that when it happened. I couldn't swallow. I still can't swallow properly. So eating the popcorn was a really bad idea because at some point I'm going to need to go and get a drink of water. Now, when I was unwell, I had one thing that was wrong with me. I don't think about my esophagus. I don't suppose you do. It's there and it does its job and it keeps doing its job. So long as it does its job, you don't think about it. As soon as it stops working, believe me, you notice it. And everything changes. I lost weight. I had to change my diet to keep warm because I couldn't have enough calories to burn to keep warm. I couldn't run around anymore because I was too tired all the time and my body couldn't cope with it. One thing goes wrong and everything stops working properly. One silly little problem and life becomes much harder and you have to change all sorts of habits to compensate. The church is not just like a body. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the body, all joined together by the Holy Spirit and put together just as God designed it. And God doesn't make mistakes, ever. Every Christian is saved despite our faults. But God arranges all of those people into churches. This local church is the local expression of that wider body of Christ. And God has put us here for a purpose with different backgrounds and interests and skills. We do different jobs and have different hobbies and different interests, different ways our brains work. Some of us are technologically minded, some of us are more creatively minded. And God has arranged the body deliberately. And all of us have a part to play in the body of Christ. If we choose not to serve in the church by playing our part because we think we're useless, like I used to, then we're telling God he's made a mistake and the whole body becomes slightly more disabled because we don't play our part. If we look down on other people because we think their gifts are not as important as ours, Paul says we create a schism in the body, a great division, a great harm. And we're telling God that he's made a mistake. We're dishonouring the very people that God has honoured and crowned with glory and given to the church as a gift. We're telling God he's made a mistake. And God doesn't make mistakes. God honours every little act of service, the ones that are seen and the ones that are not seen. And we should honour that too. We should honour each other when we see people serving in big ways and small ways, hidden ways and public ways. And we should ask this question. Since God never makes a mistake, what has he given me to the church for? What is the gift or ability that he's given to me that I could use to serve the wider church? It may be that you're thinking, I don't know. I don't think I have any gifts. Well, why not talk to somebody near you, somebody around, somebody who knows you well, and they'll tell you the things they've seen in you that you haven't seen for yourself. Maybe you are aware that you have some gifts, but you're not sure how to use them. Why not talk to me or to John or to somebody else on the PCC and just say, look, I have this. I'd love to contribute, but I don't know where. Could you show me where there's an opportunity to serve? The body of Christ limps along unless we all play our part. Are we willing to be a body, needing each other, rejoicing in each other's gifts, and willing to serve, everyone playing their part? Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, thank you so much for your church. Thank you that you give us to each other as your gifts of grace. And thank you that each and every one of us has something to give, and indeed something that we need to receive from others. Father, please would you help us to bless each other and so be a body that works fully the way you intend us to. For Jesus' sake, amen. We're going to sing a song. It's going to come up on the screen. It'll be new to us. I think what we'll do, Harry, if you can, we'll play...